Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 469 of the Overseas Connection podcast. It is April 8th, 2018. It's Sunday, a new time slot for us. We're testing the waters out, off to a somewhat rocky start, a rushed start. That's probably the best way to say a rushed start. We're 9 minutes late, and that's all because of the man drinking heavily at the moment. Mr. Robin Tate, thank you for spinning the disc today. We're giving Mark the day off. Robin, thank you again, and welcome to the show.
No problem, Greg. Thank you for your patience, you bastard. this is number two. This is the second time I've done this. I suppose it will get easier, but there is things about setting up. It's just really awkward. Like, you have to cut round every single webcam every week. And I know Mark probably does it now blindfold, but it is a bit fiddly yet. Anyway, it's Robin.
Yeah. Yep.
Robin Tate here. I am in Ballymena with a big spike of my hair, I see. I'm in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. At Bongo the Sane is me. Good to be on the show again. And lovely to be on the show with you, Greg. Because,
well, thank you very much, Robin.
We don't get to podcast just as often, just of late.
No.
Because you've been a wino.
I've been a wino, I've been traveling, but we'll get into all of that in just a bit. Let's introduce the rest of the cast. We have Nicole Radowski also on the show tonight.
Hey, y'all. How are you?
Simplicity in words, Nicole. Thank you. I appreciate that. Good to see you, Nicole. Good to see you. Also on the show, we have Mr. Phil Olson.
Hello, hello. How's everyone doing?
Excellent.
Robin's just run out of whiskey by the looks of it.
Robin's going to be hurting shortly. I have a feeling there's another bottle within reach.
No, there's
somewhere.
Not. It's a school night. That's the difference between tonight and Saturday night. This is now a school night.
True.
So the kids are back at school tomorrow morning, or some of them are anyway. So it's So just a little, just you know, for my health.
A wee sniffer.
Okay, well, yes, for the health. Aside from the three lovely individuals on the podcast with me, of course, I am Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And if you are not familiar with our podcast, because this is a new time slot for us, we are a gaming podcast about slightly more mature gamers, although we don't always act like it, and apparently a more sober podcast moving forward. So we've elected to slide into this slot because it just made life a little bit easier, contrary to what the start of the show might have insinuated at first. It's a gaming podcast. We do video games. We talk about video games. We talk about life. And that's probably the best place for us to start into, Robin, is talking about our life and story time and all of the things that have been happening to us over the past couple days. Including last weekend. Time, our favorite time of the day. So, all right, let's talk about life. Let's talk about what's been going on. I have been doing a ton of traveling. I am tired of going to New York, and sadly, I have to go back out to New York again this upcoming week. So I will have been out to New York three times in less than 3.5 weeks.
Goodness.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
A lot of time out.
Yeah. I was thinking about you there, because that is crazy, because I know that flight's awful, because I mean the flight from LA to New York is probably as long as it is from New York to London. It's what is it,
yeah.
7-8 hours? Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Yep.
So it's awful.
Yeah, not exactly the best time in the world. However, it's for work. It's been good that I've been getting out there, so I can't really complain about that so much. So New York. I did get a chance to meet Gary DeFelice. I don't know if I talked about that yet or not. We did, in fact, meet in person. I'm trying to remember when I've been on the show versus
You mentioned that last week with Mike and crew. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, in that case, then, who cares? Gary, blah, whatever.
What was he like? Was he a decent fella?
He was a decent fellow. He really – Gary's a very nice guy. We actually get along quite well. I play a fantasy football league with Gary, and so I know a lot of people look at us, and we have this little rivalry going, and we always are talking smack to one another. But truth be told, we are very good friends, and we got to meet for the first time actually in person, which was great. We had a nice lunch together, and then Gary said that he wanted to leave because New York traffic sucks. And so, so we got him out.
I thought you hadn't met him before. I know it was almost there, and the root canal got in the way.
No, we had not met. We had only met through online, through chat, and through Skype, and doing different podcasts. So it was kind of one of those things where it was great to meet him in person. So slowly but surely, I'm ticking off all these boxes.
Yeah, really are.
Meet Phil. I'm going to meet Nicole one of these days. We're going to get it all checked off
next year.
And okay. So outside of that. Just a little bit more story time on my end. But anyway, so we're redoing our backyard, and that has been an endeavor. So we finally narrowed down the contractor we want to use, and then we, to save some money, because we've been watching all of these home decorating shows and stuff where people are doing some of their own demo work, that kind of thing, to save a little here and there, we said, you know what, we're going to go for that. We'll do some of that ourselves. So we had a small little, it was not really a Mohs strip, it was like a small low wall. And it runs around the rim of where our grass meets the tree line. And we're getting rid of all that stone. Well, turns out each one of those stones is about 25 pounds each. And it's about three layers deep. So we ended up hauling out about 220 stones out of that backyard up to the front yard and sold them actually to a local guy here who's building a big wall himself, like a 600-foot wall. But that was an effort. Hmm. I remember the first day I got out there and I thought, okay, you know, I'm just going to try to tackle some of this on my own. It was like a Thursday afternoon. I start getting out there, and quickly I determined this was going to be a very tedious and just heavy job. The lower back was not happy with me that first day. Wasn't doing a lot of lifting with my legs. The good news is Cindy jumped in yesterday. We knocked out a good half of it, and then this morning we finished out the other half, and the guy came and hauled away. And it was like 1,200 plus pounds of stone. So it was a lot.
That's good going.
Yeah. So that's been pretty much my life. What about you, Nicole? What's been going on? Stuff and things I see there. Anything exciting?
Not really. It's all school, and it's the end of the year, and we have 2 months left, really. But in that 2 months that's left, we have teacher appreciation, a whole bunch of testing going on, and then all this end of school field trips and everything that you've got to get out of the way before, you know, that last day in May. So just super busy with school.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. Definitely can understand that. And Phil, I'm going to get to your story last because I think you have probably one of the best stories to talk about. Robin, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with you.
Oh my God, there's been so much going on with me. It is unbelievable the stuff I've been up to. No, it is not indeed. What have I been doing? Well, over the last week or so, it's been a bit crazy around the Tate household. It's been absolutely nutballs. And we've been doing a lot on social media. I mean, you might have noticed Judith and I, the Judith and Robin episode 1 went out this week.
I noticed.
And we have challenged ourselves to lose, getting back into shape again for holidays. Because since we went to meet Greg, we have mysteriously put on a lot of pounds, okay?
Now, mysteriously?
Yeah, because I think, just like the Russians, I think Greg drugged us with some sort of fat-gaining drug while we were there. We went to that restaurant that night, and the wine was polluted in some way for something that made us crave Kentucky Fried Chicken at least once a week. So, yeah, anyway.
Wait a minute. How can that be a problem? You guys don't have any KFC out there. There's no chicken in all of England.
So, well, see, again, see? See, Northern Mexico doesn't have that issue. England does. Anyway, so it's opened up a whole can of worms. So Judith, as I sort of embraced this, and if you watch the sort of Robin and Judith episode 1 on bongosbits.com or on bongosbits on YouTube, you can see she's in good form. I had to cut out so much of her because she really was laying it out to me thick. So we thought that once a week we'd do a little sort of a video log of how we're getting on and how the race is going on. And so that's been good. I'm terrified to look at my notes in case I switch something else off again. what did I write in my notes there? There was Robin and Judith. There was... what's it?
Cocktails.
Pardon?
Cocktails.
Oh, yes. God.
Cocktails.
Cocktails.
Yeah, cocktails. Dinners.
Strawberry daiquiris. And daiquiris with any sort of frozen fruit whatsoever. Been loving them. We went to a children's party last weekend. And I made a jug of strawberry daiquiri. And just said, no, Robin, you better make another one and bring it with us. And I made two. And they said, well, maybe one more. And very healthy. Very healthy. It's strawberries, it's lemons, it's limes, it's ice, and a little bit of sugar. And you blend that bugger up, and away you go. Lovely, slushy daiquiri. Absolutely wonderful.
What sugar
in Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. Let's back this up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Bacardi. Bacardi. And what do you hear about the Bacardi? The Bacardi was a brand new bottle, which I cleared from my father's house and this bottle of Bacardi must be at least 20 years old. Now I know Bacardi doesn't age like whiskey and stuff like that there, but there's just something nice about a really old bottle of alcohol. Why can we not do that with food? Make it last for 20 years, preserve it we should preserve everything in alcohol.
Twinkies you can do,
but they are not really food, are they?
No, they're really not.
Yeah, that's why they haven't made it over here. So look, we've been having a good time. Today I got the bike out. I got it all polished up, got it checked, took it for a wee test ride. So looking forward to getting the Lycra on and starting to do some mileage again right in the roads. Because today has really been the first decent day. It actually felt a bit of warmth in the air. Now, you'd probably still call it cold, Greg, but it was pleasant.
What was pleasant?
It was pleasant day. We've lost the stream IO. Yeah, a pleasant day. Warmth. We've lost the stream IO, the live chat in the middle, but we have something even better there at the moment. So
That is better, yes.
Yeah. So
okay. Robin, real quickly. Yes. Let's go through the daiquiri recipe because I'm not quite sure I'm on board with your daiquiri recipe. I'm gonna recommend something different.
Okay, I gotta write this down. So,
all right.
Two limes, two lemons, squeezed without the pips. Okay.
And this is for a strawberry daiquiri, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two lemons, yeah. And then we have, there's a video of it on bongosbits.com. You can see it, one actually being made if you really want to go there.
My work actually blocks that video, so I can't get that site.
So, two limes, two lemons, a third of a cup of sugar, which is a cup measure, yeah. And
okay,
you can just stop there. That's gross.
No, I see what he's doing. So he's actually making homemade sweet and sour and with the lime and the lemon.
Yeah,
and the sugar
and strawberries, a lot of strawberries.
Okay,
and then the ice and Bacardi.
Okay, all right. That works. I get what you're going with there. Now, should you ever make it back to the real world, there's this stuff you can buy ahead of time. It's called margarita mix or pre-cocktail mix, sweet and sour mix.
That's packaging.
You can buy that ahead of time if you want, whatever. You can buy it, though. It makes it easier because it's all there. You don't have to squeeze nothing.
I like squeezing things, Greg.
I've heard that about you. Never mind. But what you can do, okay, so once you start getting all going in the blender, right?
Yeah.
So once it starts getting into a good mix and it's basically, you know, it's slushed up and it's spinning. You see that little circle at the top where it's like a little whirlpool. Take some whipped cream and shoot some whipped cream into your daiquiri mix as it's blending. So it'll give it just a little bit more frothiness.
Okay. What do I want to throw into it? Sorry.
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream. Yeah, but that's a bit girly, is it not?
You're drinking a daiquiri. Are you kidding me? That in of itself is girly. Okay. So you might as well go full bore. Why not?
Okay.
But here's the better thing to do. Sick. So next time you want to try something different. And I think, Rob, maybe we tried this. I don't know. I can't remember if we tried this when we were together, but Kahlua Colada.
Oh, yes.
So pina colada mix, a little bit of Bacardi, throw some ice in there, and then add in Kahlua.
Oh, yeah.
Blend that all up. Yeah. Again, you can shoot some whipped cream in if you want, and that is like a chocolate milkshake with a kick. It's really good.
Yeah, when I was in Yosemite around the pool, I kind of went a bit bananas on those. Yeah, it was an interesting afternoon. I think I must have had about 6 or 7 around the pool that day. It was really good.
Oh yeah, so, and that is the ultimate poolside drink. That is the ultimate poolside drink.
Yeah, so it was really good, and damn it, man.
But for the record, that is not going to help the losing weight thing.
well, again, I mean, a little bit of sugar. Is the
bad. No, it's really not going to help.
And the Bacardi. So, you know, the sugar and the Bacardi. See, like, there we go. We've got the lemons. And then there's all the ingredients are set out there. Yeah, you can see. You cut the lemons and then you put them in the bowl and you add a wee bit of sugar and away it goes. It's lovely.
But you added Sprite.
Oh, yes. Sprite. I forgot about the Sprite. Yeah, so a wee bit of diet Sprite for a bit of lemon and lime, for a wee bit of fizz in there to help with just the liquid bit of it as well. Yeah, there's nothing wrong about putting alcohol and fruit together. You can't really go wrong. But, they're nice.
If you like it, Robin, then go for it.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, we'll just let it go at that, because I'm like, usually mine is it's Bacardi mix, or the Bacardi rum, and then you can buy the frozen daiquiri mix, mix that together, and you can add the simple syrup if you want or not. I don't need it any sweeter than it is, or real fruit, but that's it.
You are sweet enough.
Oh, you're so full of shit, Jared. We know you're full of shit.
Yeah,
not sweet. Yeah. But I appreciate you trying, Robin. I do.
Okay, so what the hell happens
now? All right, well, let's transition out of your drinking into Phil's reason to drink.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, so Phil. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I don't have the sound effect. Happy birthday, Sarah.
To you. There we go. All right.
Happy birthday.
Phil.
Yes.
Now that we're past the birthday song, let's talk about the potential funeral song that was going to be played to some local workers at a certain store, had things not been resolved.
Yes. So my TV, I'm very, very pleased with my TV. I don't spend huge amounts of money on TVs, not thousands of dollars, but... my last TV was the most I spent on the TV. It was $800. I bought it about 3 years ago, and it started to get a purple patch. So I realized that I'd got some insurance on it. So I got replacement TV, no problem there, got delivered, and saw there was a fault. So there was part of the LED backlights were shining through the top. And it was, the TV was still watchable. I thought, no, it's okay. Lisa just come out of hospital, so I thought, no, I don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart and... she's got something to watch. So about a week later, replacement TV was delivered. And I thought, great.
Right. And they took away the first replacement. They took that back. They gave you the new replacement, but it was all still in box, right?
Yeah. So unboxed it a couple of hours after they went, because I had stuff to do. And there's an enormous smash in it. And I wasn't a very happy bunny at all.
Yeah,
I was absolutely livid. Lisa said it's the most angry she's ever seen me.
Wow.
Which I know it's only a simple thing. I know it's only a simple thing, but it really got my nerves. So eventually, after whining about it to you guys, threw it in the back of the car, went down the store. They took an hour to refund me. went up the road and now the very happy owner of a Samsung, gone back to Samsung, QLED TV. So, which is fantastic. Really enjoy it. And also, I bought myself an Xbox One X.
Good lad yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That was the original deal. I think you bought, like, bundled together the TV and the Xbox. It was part of an offering, yeah, right?
It was £100 off. So, if you bought an Xbox One X with the TV. So, very happy with that. And it looks absolutely fantastic.
So, I mean, in reality, you kind of made out here because you had you got the Xbox for $100 off. You of course had to replace that one TV. They gave you a new TV that was even worse than the original, and then you went back and said, "No, just refund me fully." And they refunded you fully for that TV. You still kept the Xbox with the discount you got on it, I'm assuming.
Yep.
And you then went into a different store and bought a new TV from that store.
It was actually the same company, so it was the same store, different branch. And it just so happened that 2 weeks after I got the replacement, the original replacement, they had a sale on, and they had the Samsung QLED, which is absolutely superb. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous.
That's a nice TV.
Yeah.
So you now have an Xbox One X. You have seen the difference because you were on an original Xbox, correct?
I was on the One S.
Oh, you were on the S. Okay. Yeah. But you've gone from the S to the X. Some quick thoughts, impressions.
It's night and day. After that, I didn't think it was going to be that much of a difference. But for things like PUBG, Sea of Thieves is just stunning. The water, I know everyone goes on about the water effects, but I am amazed every time I play it. And as you go around the different maps, the lighting changes, and it just looks absolutely superb. Haven't really noticed any speed up in loading times. I don't think I noticed it that much before. I've still got quite a few games to go through that are Xbox One X enhanced. But so far, and some of the games we'll come to later, have looked absolutely superb.
I can tell you one game for sure. I think you have the game Subnautica.
Yes.
That is a game that is dramatically enhanced in terms of loading time. On the Xbox One X. I think it was like 2.5 minutes to load normally on the old One S and the original Xbox. And it's, I think, right around a minute now on the X. So it definitely speeds it up a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suppose we can get into talking about games unless there's any other stories we want to talk about, you know. I suppose real quickly we should acknowledge our shatters. Maybe Nicole, you can give some shout outs real quickly. I know I know Sarah obviously is in there. We certainly serenaded her.
Yeah, Sarah's in there. Veteran gamers came by to say beef, just FYI. Well,
and FYI, I've been going into their chat a couple times already and just texting beef.
And then just and us. So
Bobbin's in the chat, I see.
Yeah, I can't go into the thing. My phone doesn't like whatever update we did recently, so it won't show me anymore who's in the chat. I have to scroll, and I loaded late, so.
No, not a problem. Not a problem. Apparently, there's a guy named Marcanix in the chat. He was checking up on us. I don't know if he's still there or not, but, well, you know. Maybe someday we'll have him on the show. He seems like a nice guy. All right. Let's talk about some game with benefits.
Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. Today we're good. Okay. Like playing computer games. this is all new stuff.
Go!
I love you, Robin.
We need some hand signals.
God
tonight.
Bless you, that's man. God bless you. So for whatever reason, we're not hearing Robin when he's playing his audio. So it's all hand signals now. I think I finally figured out what his hand signals are meaning, which meant I could go ahead and talk. And
pretty
yes,
sure that last one was fuck you.
Also, pretty sure it was as well. Anyway, so games with benefits. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. This is a new thing we've been doing, which basically we are committing to playing the monthly freebie games. We're choosing one or two games that are being offered up as part of the services packages that we're all paying for. So there's PlayStation 4 games. There's Xbox One games. I have no idea what's going on with Robin. You can speak, Robin. You are allowed
Windows
to talk.
98. I think he's trying to get the video working.
No. The video, maybe. No, video's working fine. No. I just realized that when I mute myself, it mutes the sound effects.
That is also true. You do not need to mute yourself. That's a fair play.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. Learning.
Would you like to play the jingle again, since we didn't actually... apparently nobody heard it.
No, Mark heard it.
Yeah, Mark heard it. So the people that are really important heard it.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's slightly hurtful, but okay. Fine, whatever. All right, let's talk about it. So Games and Benefits this week, this month, we've got The Witness, there's Assassin's Creed Syndicate, there's Cars 2, the video game, and Dead Space 2. But let's face it, anybody that wanted to play this Games and Benefits from Gold is likely going to be playing The Witness. So has anybody been playing The Witness?
Mm. I have.
Excellent. Phil, what do you think?
Yeah. Looks absolutely superb. Looks very nice. And did the first few puzzles, which were great. And then I've no idea what to do next. There's some puzzles I just look at and I just go, nah, no idea.
Okay, so... All right. So I'm seeing on screen right now. Obviously, there's a bunch of different puzzles. But
so the normal
what is
puzzles.
What's the game about?
Puzzles? I have no idea. It's just you just go rounds and there's consoles with wires with cables going between the consoles. So you do a puzzle, it lights up the cable, and you go into the next one. Apart from that, you know, I've done that and opened up a big laser, symmetric laser, and. You know, everything looks lovely, and I've opened doors, but I've just got to some puzzles. I've no idea, absolutely no idea what to do. And I'm very close to looking it up on YouTube. I don't like doing that with puzzle games, but I've just got no clue what to do. The early ones are easy. But
Yeah, false sense of security. I hear, you know, that as you progress, you're literally using your phone to take things and taking notes, and it gets really, really deep. And only clever people like Robin from the Boss Wave can actually manage this. I sort of took it as a sort of a different approach. I sat down with Judith with this, thinking, here's a game that maybe she's clever, she likes puzzles, she's smart, maybe we can bond with this. And we've played a few of them. I'll tackle it again with her through the month, but I can't imagine I'm going to stick through this. This is too cerebral for me.
To me, this is a game. It's like, oh, we could play this together and get in fights.
Yeah. So on the video now, this is early on, and these are very simple. You've just got to make your thing move through a maze and occasionally cover some black dots. But there's other things. I've no idea what's going on. You're supposed to, you know, there's one where you have to look at trees and where fruit grows in the trees. Work that out. But later on, there's just things that, just lost it.
Yeah,
I think probably 10 minutes more, and if I don't work it out, that'll be it. I'm glad.
So this is a game that basically is going to make you feel stupid, more or less.
I'm just praying.
Yes, it's done that already.
I'm just praying an achievement doesn't pop.
Yeah, there are achievements.
Oh, dear. I don't want that. Very good. Yes, it's a very clever game, made by a very clever guy, the same fella that made Braid. But,
right.
I think it turns into probably torture and a chore and a job. And I'm sure there's some satisfaction in it, but I think it's the satisfaction only hipsters would really enjoy. It's a hipster game.
Okay.
Yeah, I completed The Witness. Yeah. Without writing anything down. Yeah. Okay? Fuck you.
Hipsters. Damn it. All right. Anybody playing any of the PlayStation Plus games? There's Mad Max, Trackmania Turbo, In Space We Brawl, Toy Home, 99 Vitas, and Qbert Rebooted. So I've actually played Mad Max a little bit. Not recently per se, but I have played some of Mad Max. It seems like a pretty serviceable game. I'm actually, there's so much on my backlog.
It's on Game Pass, isn't it?
It is on Game Pass. That's actually where I was playing it, to be fair. But I also have Trackmania Turbo. I think that was an offering at some point in time. Yeah. I have not touched that. Has anybody here touched Trackmania Turbo?
I know there's a few people have expressed an interest that it would be a really good game to play, and I have a bit of Trackmania going. I did play a bit of a demo or something on the Xbox once, and it's like little short races. That's pretty much it.
Right.
I think I need to dabble with it again if we can get a few people in and get some PlayStation love going on there as well. But I think, as we see now, there it is. You're dropped off from a helicopter or a plane. You drop onto the road, and it's that trial sort of thing, because you don't actually race with other people. You're racing against the clock, I believe it's the way it goes. So you can see there now, if you can, that those the other car you see is a ghost. So you're trying to beat that ghost time. So maybe it's something we should do. Yeah, as Sarah says in the chat, it's like 30-second tracks. So, you know, it should remind you of many things, the things you can do in 30 seconds. But it looks gorge. It looks sweet.
It does look nice. It does look very nice. And again, you know, this is one of those situations of if you have PlayStation Plus, you have Xbox Live, or Twitch Prime, which we'll talk about in a second. There's lots of free games coming your way. And I say free. This is why we call this Games with Benefits, is because we're paying for these services to get these games included. So they're not really free. At the end of the day, we are actually having to pay money to play these games. Twitch Prime games, and I'm assuming, Nicole, I don't believe you've played any of these. I know you were pretty much on the iOS a lot. So Twitch Prime games this past week, or for April, SteamWorld Dig 2, Kingsway, Tokyo 42, Tales from the Borderlands, and Dub Wars 1. Or is that I?
It looks like an I.
Either way. Yeah, it looks like an I. I haven't dabbled in any of these as of yet. Tokyo 42 is an interesting one, if I recall correctly. It's kind of like a third-person isometric view. I don't want to say XCOM-like, but it was, you know, it kind of had that vibe to it. Is a little Blade Runner-y.
Isometric. Yeah, I remember seeing it at some of the trade shows. SteamWorld Dig 2. I am definitely going to play in SteamWorld Dig. I'll be getting it to put on the list to play sometime. Because I had a lot of fun over the last year with SteamWorld Dig. I thought it was a brilliant little sort of platformer. But if I can rewind a little bit there and talk about Dead Space 2. Oh, my God.
Oh, sure.
It's a fantastic game. I'm keen to play it more than I'm the Witness.
I did play Dead Space 2 to finish. It was actually my favorite Dead Space game out of all of them.
Me too.
I liked what they did there. As I recall, that was the one where they actually injected the you're fighting against not just the crazy monsters, but you're fighting against other humans. It felt like a bit like Aliens in a good way, not in the horrible game they put out. That was a dig, Robin.
Was Dead Space 2 the one with the eye?
Yes.
The eye.
It probably has about the best opening of any sort of horror-type game in a long time.
Man, I couldn't get to 2 because Dead Space 1 scared the shit out of me so bad I couldn't get through Dead Space 1. There's no way I play 2.
And it had that.
Well, what was nice, sorry, real quickly. What was nice about 2, which I'm with you, Nicole, because I don't like games, and this is one of the reasons why I was having a hard time with Alien Isolation as well. I don't like games that I feel like I'm not powerful enough to beat the enemy I'm up against. And in Dead Space 1, I definitely felt like that. You had your welding gun, or I forgot what it was called, but you didn't really have offensive weapons. In Dead Space 2, much like the movie Aliens, where it's like, you know what, you get the cool gear the Marines have, you've got the weapons, and you can actually kind of take it to the enemy. that's Dead Space 2, and that, and I was able to get through Dead Space 2 because of that. Yeah. It didn't feel like it was always horror, but it was action-y, and it wasn't a, the jump scares weren't nearly as bad as they were in Dead Space 1.
Oh, no.
The one scared the shit out of me.
Two, there was the nursery, the children's nursery, little kids running around. Oh,
that was freaky. That was freaky.
And one had the best stomp ever. I wish I had some video up. So you stomped on them and to sort of kill them or to get supplies out of them. But when you got really frustrated with the wee buggers, you ended up stomping them about 10 times. Stomp, just to get the stress out of the scare. Oh, that's good. And again, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, we'll hear it in a moment or two. I'm just after finishing that. That's a great Assassin's Creed game too. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
So yeah, do you know what? I know they're not quite free. The Twitch Prime is a real bonus because a lot of us use Amazon. So you know, and that's
right.
And the Amazon thing with Twitch Prime and your Twitch whatever it's called account, you don't have to pay for it any longer. But that's a nice little free bonus there, really. But you know. I don't know. You don't have to pay, but you don't have to pay that much. You get your money. Right. Now, with these sorts of games here, we're getting our money's worth.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I think the games that you get back, even if you only play a few of them, I think that really kind of helps flesh these paid services out to being worth it. Mm. Tales for the Borderlands, by the way, that's one of the Twitch Prime games. I have not played that recently. I started playing it a ways back. It was really good. Again, you get sidetracked so easily these days.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, but it's arguably one of the better Telltale games in the series.
Yeah,
I think I'm finally going to take a dive onto the Batman series. I've held off, but I've heard really good things about season 2 of Batman. Not to totally get sidetracked, but anyway, so there's that. All right.
Good.
Well, enough of games with benefits. Let's talk about the games we've actually been playing. Robin, why don't we just circle back to you real quickly? Assassin's Creed Syndicate. We were just mentioning it briefly. Let's talk about that.
So I finished it up this week. I've been going at it pretty solidly. It ended really well. It's a beautiful game. You know, around London, it's interesting. It's there's buildings and architecture there that we're familiar with, but there'd be Big Ben or Buckingham Palace or the Houses of Parliament, those main things. And as I said before, I think all Assassin's Creed games are pretty darn janky, but we accept the jank of the running and the jumping and you don't quite get it. But as with all of them, when you get a quarter of the way in or a third of the way in, you're comfortable with it. You're running up and down and jumping around all over the place. It has some fantastic set pieces. Really, really enjoyed them. Really, really good. The World War One thing that sort of jumped forward a wee bit in time was a real treat. And I enjoyed the story. It sort of ends without ending. You know, you meet...
Interesting.
You meet Queen Victoria and a few other bits and pieces happen and the main story ends, but all right, love, I'm away. Ta-ra, Queen Vic here, goodbye. Just carry on.
Is it picked up in TLC then?
There's loads. Yeah,
that was my question.
Yeah, so there is no, but there's still loads and loads to do. There's all the areas and territories, and then there's the Jack the Ripper stuff as well, which is ongoing, which I picked it up cheap. Of course, it's even cheaper now, but I think I paid a tenner for it on a silly sale. So I have all that Jack the Ripper stuff if I want to go back to it again. But really interesting, you know, the horse riding, the horse and cart things, really nice dynamic. There's a lovely big train and there's some set piece missions with a big steam train. And it's cool. It's well worth playing. I had more fun with Black Flag, but it's still really good. So Assassin's Creed 2, Black Flag for me, I would put this in a third place now. So it's really good. Really good. So that was good. Why don't we take a turn at this? Why don't we go to somebody else?
You want to just...
Yeah. Round Robin. I hear that's a really good idea.
Round Robin.
Some shitty podcast does that, and it works quite well. So, you know, flattery. Yeah.
Why don't we skip over to Mr. Phil Olson? Phil, what game would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about Sea of Thieves. I love this game.
You have seen you playing it quite a bit.
Yeah,
I've seen you playing it quite a bit.
I love this game. There's two sides to it. There's the social side, and yes, you know, when you've got a crew of, you know, 2, 3, 4, it's fantastic. It's a completely multiplayer social experience. You're just chilling, chatting, and then every so often you've got to fight another ship or lock someone in the brig. And I've had really good laugh with yourselves and Mark and others. IPs as well. Big shout out to IPs joined us last weekend. And it's just superb. And playing solo as well. I've enjoyed going on, having an hour here or there, just doing a couple of merchant trips, picking up various, the Chest of Sorrows that sank my ship.
Right.
I didn't realize. Chest of Sorrows that cries, and you have to cry so much it fills the ship up. I never knew that. I put up my ship, went back to the island to pick up some more chests, turned around, and my ship had gone.
Oh, wow.
So, had no idea what was happening.
Phil, would you say, Phil, that the game itself, at first look, when first play, went and clicked chests and chickens and bits and pieces, and it looked pretty basic. But the more and more you look at the different systems in it, they're deep and layered, and there's more and more. It looks very simple, but there is actually quite a bit to them.
There is, and I think it is, unfortunately, it sounds very cliched, but it is what you make it. So when I'm playing solo, I have to make sure that I'm hiding behind islands, so it's a very tactical point of view. I'm making sure that I'm tacking in different directions if I see other ships, keeping well away. I've tried attacking other ships and jumping on board, and that hasn't gone too well at the moment. But it's a great game, and it is a learning curve. There's a massive learning curve in it. You know, when you die or when you lose your ship, you see a flare in the water, and if no one told you, you'd just, you know, wouldn't necessarily swim out to it because of sharks or whatever, and that's your mermaid or merman who will send you back to your ship. But no, I am hoping that there's more content coming, and there's more things to do. I'm not bored with it yet, but I haven't spent anywhere near as much time as some people. And there's a lot of complainers, I have to say, but I'm enjoying it, and you know, I probably wouldn't have minded paying the full price for it if it wasn't on Game Pass.
So I will be one of the detractors to talk about the game. I think there is a really good core game system to Sea of Thieves. And I do agree, certain things have a lot of complexity to them. Sailing the ship and using the ship is that complexity. That's the most complex thing within this game. You know, understanding wind patterns, understanding how to tack your ship, understanding that, you know, you have to drop anchor, you know, prior to arriving at an island. You can't just go in and hope to stop on a dime. All of that interaction I find exciting and fun, and I think it is very clever because it does require teamwork. You know, you can use the one-man sloop and you can get away with, you know, sailing your own ship. But, you know, the big galleon, 100% you need multiple people to get that thing going right.
Yeah.
That said, the combat system is really, really shallow and lacking. And so I call Rare to task on that because I find that, you know, I get what they're trying to say on one hand. Of they wanted to create a system that you could just come back to at any point in time and you're not going to feel like you're behind the curve. But this is a pirate game. This is about getting loot. It's about going out and getting stuff. And, it's an adventure. But part of the adventure, the reward is getting stuff that becomes more useful. I don't know that there's, you know, you think back to the pirates of real world. Yes, they were always about the treasure, but I don't think there was a pirate out there that wouldn't take a chance to try and get a better sword. They wouldn't try to get something that was, you know, basically better crafted, and it would actually do better in combat. You know, having a rusty knife versus a well-polished steel blade that could slice through pretty much everything would be a difference maker for a pirate. So the fact that Rare didn't include that kind of content has me less than excited about the game. I do wish they had thought about that and come up with something that would have, you know, a system that just would have given you just that little carrot. You know, and varied enemies. That's my other beef is, look, skeletons are great, but there needs to be something more, and I still hold that there needs to be a Royal Navy component to this game. Yep. That they're out there, they don't care who you are, they're going to attack all pirates. So this way, when you're in a fight with another pirate, the Royal Navy could come right up and start blasting everybody. And they could also be considered, you know, a random encounter for you to try and take that on.
I think as far as the weapons are concerned, I think Rare and other developers are just terrified of being tarnished with the same brush of the pay to win. And I think that's the main reason why they've kept off. And hopefully they're listening. They're a really good company.
That's what gets me so angry. Because look, you could have kept weapon upgrades and weapon things like that completely non-paid DLC. So it could have been content you find in the game, but literally there's no way for you to buy into that. And as long as there's no way for you to buy into that system, that's okay. You know, as long as it's, you know, I found a plus one sword out in the world and anybody can go out searching and try to find a plus one sword, then that's okay. But the minute you say, well, you can go into the marketplace and you can buy a plus one sword, that's the problem.
Mm. Okay. There we go. Well, let's see if these. We'll keep on playing it, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Ben, Robbie, Greg.
Yes.
What have you been playing?
Let's see. Let's talk about Far Cry 5. I've been dabbling into Far Cry 5. I've had a lot of limited time, but because of all the traveling I've been doing. But I did manage to get in some good time with Far Cry 5. I've really been enjoying the game so far. It has a nice story to it so far. Pretty intense to start the game. And then it seems to kind of fall into maybe the more traditional Far Cry trappings of being, you know, more exploration. There's going to be some story beats where you're going to hit it and then it'll advance the story. There's clearly, four main boss type figures within the game. And I won't go further into that because I don't want to spoil anything. But, you know, obviously there's the religious cult leader, and then there's some sub bosses that you're going to have to basically try and take down to control or regain control. And that's a pretty typical Far Cry formula. You know, you're in this open world. There's different regions. You have to try and take down those different regions to bring them back in your control in order to better your supply chains, your, you know, co-army, so to speak. And so all of that stuff is good, though. I mean, Far Cry 5, it seems like they've refined it nicely. There's not all of the climb a tower missions in Far Cry 5, so I do appreciate that. Discovering things on maps is much more organic in Far Cry 5. So you come across people that will give you, you know, tidbits on, oh, you could go check this place out to find something here, or, you know, things of that nature. So you just kind of come across it as opposed to you go up to a tower, you climb the tower, and suddenly everything's revealed to you.
But Greg, is it different than other Far Cry games? I mean, the first bit sounds very different, but does it quickly roll into capture an area, capture a boss? Is it the same formula as all the other ones?
I mean, it does feel like it still has some of that same formula, and I think that would be my one maybe critique of it, is that, you know, you do definitely have some of that sameness in that regard, but it looks really good. It runs really good. And the Far Cry formula isn't – I haven't gotten bored of that formula yet. So for me, it's okay. Maybe talk to me in a month's time. Maybe, you know, God knows it'll probably take me that long to get through this game, but you know, maybe I will start getting bored of it.
Phil,
but
is it
overall?
Phil, I know you love Far Cry games, Phil.
Yeah, Far Cry 3 and I can't remember if I played 4. I think it is, but both of them and Primal, of course. Once I get into them, that's it. I have to 100% it. They're the one game. I think the only other game that is like that for me is Assassin's Creed games. Yeah, Far Cry, superb. It's just, it feeds that itch that I have. That's why I'm holding off playing this. Not going to play.
I was just going to say, did you pick it up or you held
on? No, I'm holding off. Holding off.
And Nicole, Far Cry games, I don't know if you've played them before or not.
Just four? Four. Yeah.
And did you get along with it? I mean, is this something that you think you might want to get?
I don't know what mode my son had it in because my son bought it. That was one of his. He had money for Christmas and bought it because it was on the cheap. And he left it to go to, I don't know, run off to the bathroom or go talk to a friend. I don't know. So I was playing his game and pissed off a bunch of people and was shooting things. And I didn't like the shooting aspect because the aiming was really weird for me. And I'm very, I'm particular about that whole aiming thing.
Right.
If I want to look through the scope and there's no scoping and it's just, it was weird. So it's anything I would run to.
I would say this is definitely then an improvement in that regard because you can aim down sights and scope down. So that definitely is part of this game.
It's a really good Far Cry game. Free, I'll play it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because I didn't pay for this one and I played on my son's copy, so.
All right. Okay. Well, I would say this, if you were inclined or you liked previous Far Cry games, I think you will absolutely probably like this Far Cry game as well. Mm. I do think they really have refined the the formula for Far Cry, and so from that standpoint, go for it. If you're not a Far Cry fan, this is going to be more of the same.
Yeah, if you're not a Far Cry fan, it'll be a bit of a Far Cry for you.
pun.
I mean, come on, Nicole. It took Mass Effect 4 times to get it right, so.
Ooh. Right. They got it right, and then some would say they didn't get that right. But you know, hey, who knows? Everybody has different likes. That's the best thing about gaming, right? Is that everybody has different likes and dislikes, and so what I may love, the next person may not. I realize that there's a lot of flawed people out there that don't appreciate XCOM, but you know, let's face it, that is the best game ever.
I appreciate surviving XCOM when I'm
it was that trigger word. The trigger word put me to sleep. Sorry.
Speaking of trigger words, Nicole, why don't we have you talk about something you were playing?
I've not been playing much. I played Bloodborne. I picked it back up again because I'm like, okay, I am going to get through this stupid level. It's not in one of those intuitive games where it actually, you have to go read all those stupid little, don't start growling. There's, you know, she's got to bark every single podcast.
Right.
It's not like you got to go sit down there and read those little skulls to get all your get all your clues. So there's those little dudes at the bottom. You read whatever scroll of paper rolls up and it gives you tips. Well, that gets really friggin' annoying because they're like every 5 feet. So I didn't know how to replenish my health. I actually had to go online and go look for it because it was pissing me off because I kept dying in this one spot over and over again. Although I did get sneakier as it went along, so I think I could get further and further down the line, but then I had to figure out how to actually replenish health I got through.
I think I would rather pull my toenails out than play one of these games. It just seems like torture like that.
It's work, and it shouldn't be work. Mm. It should be fun, but it's just, it's work.
It's a good thing Mark Canix is not on this podcast, because he'd be telling you right now we're all wrong and how great this game is. He loved Bloodborne.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I just, I don't want, I, I don't know. I just don't like working for a game. I want it to be relaxing. My time is so limited right now. Anyway, summer's coming, and God help me, I cannot wait till summer gets here. I don't know. I would rather just pick up the controller like Rainbow Six. I can pick up the controller. I can go kill some assholes, and I am a happy camper. And I can play one game, or I can play 50, and it's all good.
All right.
So that was it. That's not work. That's fun. And I want it to be more fun.
Yeah, it looks like Sarah noted that some of those notes are from actual people. And I guess you can turn that off in the online connection. So there you go. That might be helpful. And then Mark chimed in. Actually, totally said against what I thought he would say. He said Bloodborne is horrible, so never mind. Mm. I guess this is a game not for everybody. No, just kidding. Mark loves Bloodborne. We know this.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
let's get back to you, Robin.
Yeah, so I dabbled a bit in Battlefield 1, again with EA Access, another sort of free game. I had played a little bit months and months ago, and I thought, well, again, trying to work my way through stuff, trying not to buy stuff. Just, it's changed for me. I've got so much good stuff to play, I don't think I'll ever have to buy another game again, especially with that Xbox Game Pass thing. That's it. Anyway, the mission that I went into was the Plains mission, which is called Friends in High Places, and I thought it was really cool. It was this like American dude posing to be an English sort of lord and stole a plane with his buddy, and away they went on adventures over France and all over the place. There was a fantastic battle in the air with Zeppelins, where they crashed into a Zeppelin and had to jump on to the Zeppelin and fight. Oh, I just thought it was really, really neat. And I have no interest in playing the multiplayer of Battlefield, but I'm looking forward to playing through these little stories. I suppose they take about about 2 hours or so.
Yeah.
So I expect all of them take about 2 hours. I think I played the first mission, and I think it was because it was in the trenches and it was pretty dark and dismal, and it felt like this was going to be a chore, but this one was fun. Flying the plane's a bit awkward, you know, it's patting your head and rubbing your belly a bit, learning the controls quickly, but it was thoroughly enjoyable, and I will work my way through all of the little mini stories from Battlefield. Phil, you're nodding there. You've played some of this, have you?
I've played all of them. They're really good. The playing one's superb. Really good from the characters. I have to say the acting in all the mini stories has been really good, and there's some quite recognizable faces or voices even. There's a good, really good tank one. There's one in the Sahara. So they're almost like tutorials. So they cover each bit of the various gameplays.
For multiplayer. Okay.
Yeah. But they are really good.
Good. And have you, Nicole, Greg, have you dabbled with Battlefield?
I did.
I finished the campaign. I thoroughly liked the campaign. I thought they could have done a lot more with it. The little kind of episodic nature they took with it. The one thing I felt was, at least for me, I felt a little disjointed in that it jumped to all these different individuals as opposed to kind of having a main character to kind of follow through.
Okay.
It made sense in some ways. And so in that regard, I think it made for a little bit better of a story. But ultimately, I felt like each story was more a training for a type of gameplay within the game, within the multiplayer, I should say. So you had the tank mission. Yeah, you had the tank mission. It showed you how to play tanks. You had the plane, you know, missions, which was all about learning how to be a pilot inside the multiplayer. You had the I forgot. The next one was the Arabian Desert, which was all about learning how to be a sniper and basically be a scout. So they all of these missions were set up to teach you how to play different classes.
Well, I do know what, I'm getting my money's worth, which is kind of free. So I'm enjoying it, you know. And it looks beautiful. It really does look gorgeous. So I think
I liked all those little episodes. I thought they were entertaining.
Yeah, I'm getting enough out of it. So that's good for me. So that's me in Battlefield. Who's next?
Yeah. I believe we're back to Phil.
Just quickly. Just before it came on, I fired up Halo Wars 2 because it was on Game Pass again.
Right.
And I'd held off because I knew it was Xbox One in X enhanced, and just played the first mission. The cutscenes are amazing. They're absolutely superb. I could sit down and watch the cutscenes from Halo Wars 2 on their own. Very exciting, really good acting. It's highly recommended, actually. And the mission itself is Halo Wars. So if you like the original, it's that, but a bit more glossy. So, but the cutscenes are absolutely superb. I mean, they're really worth, even if you don't want to play it, just seeing the opening cutscenes. Highly recommended.
In fact, just like harkening back to the original Halo, you can go on to YouTube and pull up the Halo Wars. Like, you can watch all of the cutscenes back to back because they do, in a sense, link up together.
Yeah.
Same thing with Halo Wars 2. The thing I loved about Halo Wars 2 is I think it introduced a really good villain, Atriox. And there's promise that Atriox can be something beyond Halo Wars 2. So I'm hopeful that they'll do something with him because I thought he made for a good, mean and nasty villain.
And sorry, go on, Greg.
I guess I can talk real quickly. Well, I'll talk about two games real fast. So Shadow Tactics, I talked a little bit about last time I was on. It was one of the free games on Twitch Prime. It is a Ninja XCOM-like game. And I think what I figured out what I didn't tie in well with Shadow Tactics, which is in XCOM, you start to form a bond with soldiers because you level them up. There's a closeness you start getting with them. You can customize them to be people in real life, so to speak. So like all of my XCOM characters are named after podcast people. They're named after my friends in the community. And so it's kind of fun when they do die off. It's like a story in and of itself, right? That's something that's missing from Shadow Tactics. I don't have that connection with the characters that you have. So I just I feel like that is one component to it that's missing. Plus, it's a little farther back. It's not as fluid as XCOM is in terms of that tactical turn-based. Excuse me?
It looks really basic. It looks like it's stepped back years.
It's not, but I get where you're coming from. So it is ultimately less of a squad tactics game and more almost like a puzzle game. Figuring out how to do the mission and get through and take your ninjas in to do what they need to do.
It looks more like a racing game to me.
It's like Robin Hood. There was one with Robin Hood and one with cowboys years ago that looks very similar to this. I'm trying to remember what they're called.
There was one, and I have it on my computer, as a matter of fact. If I want to say this, Go West, something to that effect. I can tell you right now, it's called Hard West. Similar to Hard West, but again, for whatever reason, that lack of connection with your squad, I just don't have a care about if my guys make it or don't make it. I suppose maybe if I dove more into the lore and read more a little bit on the backstory stuff, maybe I would. So there's that. Blood Bowl 2. I had been interested in this game. So way back when, there was a game called Blood Bowl. It had come out. It was basically like Madden football, but with monsters. And so you had this game of football, American football, happening where you were using monsters instead of human players, and there was all kinds of shenanigans that could happen within the game. And So I was super excited about Bloodborne 2, or Blood Bowl 2, sorry, not Bloodborne 2, don't be confused. And this game is very different than what I thought it was going to be. I really was anticipating it was going to be kind of Madden-esque, and you know, play out just instead of human characters, you had monsters. And while that is kind of the case, it's a quasi-American football with monsters, and so you build out your roster with these different kind of monster-like characters. It's actually much more of like a game of chess. It's turn-based. You move your characters along the field, and then your turn ends, and then the enemy moves their characters along the field. And so it's interesting. It's interesting. There's probably a very deep system to this game that I haven't gotten into yet. I mean, I literally just touched the surface of it the other day and got through the opening match, and I was like, okay. I don't know that I will get into this. I don't know that I will continue to play it, but I wanted to check it out.
This is Game Pass thing as well, isn't it?
Yes, this is on Game Pass.
But super.
Game Pass gives you that opportunity to
try stuff that you wouldn't spend money on.
Exactly, and that's the same thing with Mad Max. I didn't buy Mad Max. I thought about it. Marcanix had played it on PS4, so we weren't going to get it on the Xbox. Through our brotherly benefit. And then, lo and behold, it was on Game Pass. So I tried that out. But so Blood Bowl 2, if you like a more chess-like version of football, maybe this is for you.
American football or soccer? Be specific.
American football. Yeah. Absolutely American football.
It's based on the tabletop game from Games Workshop. So like Warhammer Fantasy, these characters have come from the Warhammer Fantasy world. So it is a dice game. It is a little plastic models on a table game. I've played it a couple of times quite a few years ago, so I was interested to see this. I never got around to playing it. But, yeah.
Speaking of Warhammer...
Yes, it...
Sorry, Phil. Just noticed when I was driving through the center of Belfast the other day, in prime real estate, really in the city center, a massive Warhammer shop has opened.
Yeah, they're having a resurgence at the moment. Wow. The sales are going through the roof. So they've relaunched some of their games and made them a lot more accessible.
You expect it in a back street somewhere, but this is, I mean, literally massive footfall, really busy area. I was surprised. They're having a really good
couple of years. Anyway.
All right. Well, we do need to pick the pace up. I'm looking at the time now.
Okay, yep.
So nice. I'm done, though. That's me. Outside of PUBG, which we do not need to talk about, we know my love of PUBG.
Okay.
So, Nicole, anything else you wanted to talk about on your end?
My end's fine. All I'm playing is iOS games, so just crap on my phone. I mean...
Anything crap. Fun that you would say check out?
Well, we have a group on Township, but the group is really small. It's me and Kim. That's pretty much it, because not a lot of people play the phone games, because for whatever reason, I find them easier to play when I have, like, kids are in PE or at art class, and, you know, I've got downtime.
Right.
So that's when I play them.
Phil, you as well.
I'm only level 10, so I can't join their town yet.
Yeah, he has to join the co-op when he's 19. But he's been slowly getting there. So, like, I'm guessing he's not playing like Kim and I do. Kim and I are, like, neck and neck, level 53 or 54 or something like that. Yeah. But it's better when you have more friends to help you play. But I play a lot of iOS games, so if there's people out there that play them and want to know if I play them, just DM me on Twitter, and I'll add you if I can, or find you somehow. And because there's a lot of games that you can play with other people or use them to get help.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm very excited to talk about a game. I played this last night from cover to cover. I could go back and play it again. and I played a game called Late Shift. It's also on the Xbox Game Pass, and it is such a unique experience. I recommend everyone that has Game Pass play this. Or if you have it on PC, I'm sure it's cheap as chips. So this is a about an hour and a half, hour and three quarters long movie length. It is the story of a guy, and it's all full motion video.
FMV. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
It is not jank. It is great. It's well voiced, well acted. The story goes that you're this guy called Matt, and you're a security guard, you're a student, and at nighttime you work in this garage with these fancy cars, and you end up in the getting into the middle of a heist. And the way the game part of it works, a bit like Telltale, where you've got choices to make quickly. So they put a gun to your head. Do you run away? Do you duck? Do you, you know, are you going to join this heist? You know, so it's yes or no. Do I go to the police or not? Or do I try and get away? The game itself has won loads of awards at different really prestigious film festivals. It has full IMDb recognition. So it is a choose your own adventure film. I have to get the word film in there. And it's sort of, you know, do you go along or and fight, or do you try and get away? I was just, it got me last night. I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Now, Phil, I know you play this as well.
Yeah, I started up this afternoon. I saw Robin was playing it. I thought, oh yeah, I remember that. Seeing when it first came out, and saw it was on Game Pass. Played the first 15 minutes. It's really good.
Mm.
It is like watching a movie. And to be honest, the first time it pops up with a decision to make, I could have missed it because I was enjoying watching it so much.
Yeah, yeah. So there are,
okay.
Seemingly there's about 7 or 8 different endings. I mean, you can end up just going home to your flat sort of thing. So it has lots of replay value if you want to go back to it again. So I'm very, very impressed with Late Shift.
The acting's very good as well. Mm. The actual quality of it is excellent.
Yeah.
So looking forward to playing the rest of it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the office boy. You know, we need an office boy here. Quickly stand in there. I want to shoot the person. There isn't any of that. You know, every part of it, the sets are good. They got the hand as a
It looks good.
Lots of really swish cars, and it looks like a good, well produced. If you look at it, that looks like high production value program, and it is that.
Little Mission Impossible like. What is if
that,
you ask me?
What is that series that everybody talks about at the moment? There's loads of them. It's a different story every week. Most of them are very, very dark.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, sort of thing. It has a Black Mirror sort of feel to. It's all about your choices, and very, very good. Play it.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think unless there's anything else we need to talk about, we should transition. Let's talk about some news, Robin.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So we've got news. Not a lot of news, but some news. So Amazon cancels Breakaway. That's the game that they had brought in Double Helix, and Double Helix was working on this game. So apparently, that game is no longer going forward. So it could potentially come back down the road. But this is one of three games that Amazon in-house game studios was planning to releasing. So they're now down to quote unquote two. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this, if Amazon is going to still push forward and trying to produce their own games, or they're just going to quietly kind of pull back from that.
What was it?
I don't know. I mean, all I know is they were saying that the team behind the competitive battle game Breakaway announced this weekend the game is no longer in active development. So it sounded like it was some kind of fight game. You know, maybe they were trying to compete with like a Street Fighter like game. I'm not familiar with it. I wasn't overly thinking it was going to be the best game ever.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm now hearing a echo, and I think this is on Phil's side.
All right. Okay. I'm not getting the echo. Chat, are you getting any echo? I'm not getting it here.
I got it. Too.
Yeah. Well, we'll push forward. I can talk when hearing myself, no problem. PUBG got some news yesterday, as a matter of fact. So the developer revealed that an experimental mode, War Mode, is going to be coming. This is actually more like a conventional deathmatch game. My understanding is this is only going to be in private servers for now. But basically, it's going to be, instead of you starting off with nothing, you actually start right off the bat with a submachine gun. And then as you die, you respawn. And so basically, it's going to be a point total of 80. That's kind of how they will get to the win. So I don't know how I feel about that, because to me, the magic of PUBG is about the loot. It's about scrambling to get a better kit. And it's about, obviously, you know, the potential of, you know, one and done. You die and you start over. You don't get to respawn.
It's funny. I was watching the guy who can't get a chicken dinner, Mike Chin, and Fraser.
He got one.
Yeah, but not
he did
on PC.
No, not on PC.
Yeah, exactly. They were playing a mode today that was shotguns only, which I'd never seen before. Because I want, you know, there was all these people whizzing around. I didn't quite understand what was going on, but I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
Well, you know, again, on the PC side, on their test server side, they do allow for certain level of streamers can host their own private servers, so they can do some experimental things like that. And obviously, this is going to be one more thing that they can bring into the fold for the PC side. Mm. The good news for Xbox gamers, well, this could be good news or bad news, depending upon how you felt about the map Miramar, but that is going to be releasing onto the Xbox version come May. So they will have that new map coming out to the Xbox version, so there'll be the two maps there. And of course, you still have the PC beta testing out the new smaller map, and I forgot the name of it, but that's the 4x4 map. So some PUBG news. We also had some Ghost Recon Wildlands news. So the developer teased out yesterday through a tweet, or maybe it was Friday, through a tweet, basically that there was going to be a Splinter Cell crossover. So we don't know what's going on with it. They said that you'll get full details on April 9th. But you clearly see Sam Fisher in this video tease saying, you know, that there's a situation that needs to be dealt with, and I've got some friends in Mexico called the Ghosts. I think that's roughly how the video goes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting. I love Splinter Cell. I've been enjoying Ghost Recon Wildlands, so I definitely am happy to see that crossover happening.
Yeah, I need to crack on with Wildlands. I bought it last week, and I've only played about 15 minutes of it. So
Okay. Well, I have it sitting ready to go as well, Phil, so maybe we can try and do a wee bit of togetherness.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be lovely, yeah.
I also open to togetherness on this one, so happy to play this. I think Ghost Recon Wildlands has some of the better helicopter controls, so I actually like flying helicopters in this game. Let's see, Spider-Man coming to the PlayStation 4. That's not news, but the news is they got a release date. September 7th is the release date for Spider-Man, so if you are looking forward to that game, you have to wait a little bit longer, but September 7th will be the release date for Insomniac's game, and they do have three different versions coming out. There's a standard and a deluxe version, and then there's a collector's edition version, which is $150. It's got a statue in it. It's got, I think, a DVD movie of the Spider-Man movie. So, I mean, it's a pretty big...
Tell me this. Puzzle me this.
Yeah.
So, No Man's Sky is coming to Xbox.
Yep. Right.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, went to PlayStation.
Yeah.
Do you think Spider-Man's will come to Xbox in a year's time after it's released.
Never. And here's the reason why it will not. Sony.
This is worth Sony a chicken dinner.
Yeah, this is worth a chicken dinner. Sony got the rights, didn't they? The rights to Spider-Man.
Minecraft.
No. That doesn't matter. That's different.
Sony Pictures own the rights to Spider-Man. So right. they made a deal with Disney recently to allow him in the Avengers films. But right. Sony actually owned the rights to it.
Right. And they in the trade back, so they sold back the rights to Spider-Man to Disney, but they retained some exclusivity rights to the movie, as well as they got themselves an exclusivity deal to basically create a Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
So I do not think this will come to Xbox. And Insomniac also came forward because the question was posed to them, and on their Twitter they did in fact come out right and say it will never come to another platform. So I think this is a Sony exclusive. It may just be a one-off exclusive deal. There may be future Spider-Man games that come out. Maybe, you know, Insomniac has some latitude to be creative because they are an independent studio now. Maybe they could do a Spider-Man DXL Fantastic Vision version. And, you know, that would just basically be that game with some added content into it to make it quote-unquote different, kind of like Capcom does with some of their Street Fighter games. On its face, I don't know. No, this is not coming to anything else but PlayStation.
I don't know. I would put a wee wager on that. I would put, what do we put on a Red Lobster?
Red Lobster dinner. There you go.
Red Lobster dinner. Within a year of its release, there'll be talk about that coming to play Xbox. There you go.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll take that bet, Robin. I will take that bet. All right, last little bit of news. Shadow of War, that was the Monolith next game the Middle Earth game that had come out previously. They had a big controversy originally around, again, loot boxes, paid loot boxes that basically were shortcuts to get to the end game. And it really hurt this game when it launched in terms of its sales. Because there was just such a big hubbub about it. Well, apparently now they are reversing course on that. They have said that they are going to be phasing out the gold currency system over the next few months, and basically it will basically stop come May 8th. And so they say, well, any existing gold I'll read the full statement here. So Monolith is phasing out the gold currency over the next few months. You'll lose the option of buying gold on May 8th, while any existing gold, the market, and war chests will cease to exist on July 17th. If you still have leftover gold at that date, it'll be converted to in-game items. Basically, they said that the reason for this was the currency was souring the experience of the game itself. Hmm. Kind of too little too late, if you ask me. I think they should have done this and made this announcement.
Was this a big issue before, was it, when you were playing the game? Because you loved, you really enjoyed the first one.
Well, it wasn't in the first one. And then they introduced it in the second one, and it came out, became very public about a month leading up to the game's release.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't personally have a problem with loot boxes that are going to shortcut a single-player experience. If somebody wants to shorten their experience, you know what? They want to ruin it that way, go for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect me, but for a lot of people, it has just really put a sour taste into their mouth, and so it impacted the game's performance on the market. And
it has been,
like I said, I think this
a big learning curve for lots of companies to find the right balance for this stuff. It really has.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was not quite as egregious as the Battlefront Star Wars Battlefront 2 situation, but it definitely was up there on levels of hype and over, you know, people being pretty upset about it. And it actually happened prior to Battlefront 2 happening. It was actually the precursor to Battlefront 2, and then Battlefront 2 happened, and then everybody went crazy on it. So the way I look at this is, Okay, well, maybe when the game, you know, gets heavily discounted, I know it's already probably discounted pretty well, maybe it's worth taking a chance on it now, you know, especially if you were one that was saying no before because you didn't want to deal with those loot boxes. Maybe this is, you know, now the opportunity to dip your toes in if it's on the sale.
Yeah, all right, okay. They're learning. Yep. I'll take this. Veteran Gamers VG Hub Meetup. They're 10 years old. They've been podcasting for 10 years. They may have all died from poisoning during this show because it's, we've sorted that out because they're live right now as well. Anyway, on the 21st of April, which is very, very soon, we're going to the Arcade Club in Bury, which is just outside Manchester. You can come along and play loads and loads of arcade games. Two floors of retro arcade games, new arcade games, pinball machines, VR equipment. You'll meet myself. I'm flying over. Mike Chin, Stu will be there. And Phil, are you going?
Don't know yet. Okay. I'm going to see what happens here, but hopefully, yeah, I went to the last one.
Mark's going as well, all being well, and a load of other people. It's a great chance to meet up. So 21st of April, have a look at the Arcade Club on YouTube. It is fantastic. I went the last time. It was great crack. So, yeah, come along to it. It's really, really good. And would love to meet you there on the 21st, which is probably only not next weekend, the weekend after. So come along. Have some fun. That's it.
There we go. All right. So we're kind of on into the community feedback. And again, I'm looking at our notes and always leery of, was this covered previously or not?
No,
it looks like...
Yeah. It's just there was one quick question there from Dan Knappman, Greg. He was getting a problem on Mixer. People from Xbox complaining that all they can see is a green screen. And he wanted to know anybody got any ideas. And I didn't know this myself either. It was something to do with the Xbox One version of Mixer can't handle 21:9 video, which is some super duper duper fantastic ratio for PCs. So if you're wondering what that is, that's what that is. Not a big thing.
Yeah, that's the new ultra wide monitor ratio. So the new ultra wide monitors are even wider, if you will, than a 16:9 monitor. And so now they've introduced this new aspect ratio, 21:9.
Mm.
So there you go.
Okay. I don't think there's anything really else. So there was a few other bits and pieces. Our Facebook is always pretty active, and the Twitters are always going well there. But we are running long, so and with Mark not being here, we have no quiz, which is handy. So
yes.
I suppose we're at the new releases stage, and I'll press this little button for new releases. And that means somebody has to do the new releases.
That would be Nicole.
Yeah.
Oh, well, nobody said anything, so I'm just like, whatever.
I was getting there.
Oh, were you? Well, that's good,
because
I'm getting there,
too. The list is long. The list is long, Nicole.
Yeah. If I can ever fucking find it.
Well, there's that. There's always that issue, but yeah, so...
I'm past the gaming trivia. It's just taking like a week and 10 days to get down to that hole.
You were there. You almost passed it.
There.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the list.
Like I said, it's a massively long list.
It is. I scrolled all the way down the paper for that.
Yeah. Do you need help with this?
I don't think so. I think I can handle this.
Okay.
It's massive, but I got it.
handle the way, Nicole.
I can handle the list. All right. So our releases for March 31st through April 6th, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Extinction for PS4, Xbox One, and PC on April, plus is April the 10th.
Well, yeah, I guess that is incorrect. So
past that date.
Yeah.
But anyway, doesn't matter. You're getting one fucking game, people. That's it.
Yeah, this is from, by the way, Iron Galaxy. There is a great interview with Adam Boyes, who's the new head at Iron Galaxy, on the Game Informer podcast. If you listen to this last week's podcast, the end of the show, they usually do an interview. this show, they have two interviews. They have the writer from Player One, Ready Player One. So
oh,
he's on there.
About,
yeah, he's on there talking about his experience. We'll circle back to Player One. We'll cover that in the final shout outs. How's that?
Okay.
Yes. So there's an interview with him talking about his experience working with Steven Spielberg and the movie. And then there's also an interview with Adam Boyes talking about Iron Galaxy and getting some inside views on his time at Sony, because he used to be an executive with Sony. And then he transitioned into going back to game development and came on board with Iron Galaxy Studios. So really good interview. Highly recommend it. I really happen to enjoy the Game Informer podcast themselves on a whole. But the interviews have been pretty stellar of late. So, that said, Robin, I'm going to leave this part to you because this is your baby, and there's a lot of names on here. Victory's achieved.
Yeah, victory's achieved. You announced the winner last week, and that's pretty cool. So what victory achieved is when you play a game to the very finish, you take a selfie of yourself, and you send that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved. And last week's winner got $15 or $20 to spend on whatever gaming format do you want. And this week, the games that were completed were by Flecky90. He finished Aragami, which sounds like a pirate's version of Origami.
Aragami.
Empire 343 finished Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Wow, good completion.
Game.
I finished Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Cybul Red Dead Redemption. Fantastic. And then Adamski and Stratham. They finished A Way Out together. I wonder if they were holding each other's knees. Mark Annex, he finished Super Hot. Play Super Hot. Ginger Balls, welcome Ginger Balls. That's Mike Chin's brother. He finished Rhyme and wondered what the hell was going on. Batch Gaming TV finished Ratchet and Clank. Amras and Hardly Dan. Hardly Dan had his hand somewhere delicate. And they finished A Way Out together as well. Denik TQ finished Guardians of the Galaxy, a Telltale series. I finished Late Shift, and over the last 24 hours we have had Teflon Jason finished Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Flecky also finished Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, and Hardly Dan finished the game that's coming to Xbox very shortly, which is Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. So well done everybody. And I'm going to play this, and thankfully the podcast crew are saved from having to hear this noise.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. All right, so we're gonna wrap things up here. If you are listening to this and it is not Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, and you're thinking to yourselves, man, it would be fun to be part of the chat and take part in the podcast because we definitely love listener interactivity. You can be part of that conversation. We broadcast every Sunday now at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and 6 p.m. on Easter Island. So if you're on Easter Island, good news. You can eat dinner and listen to the podcast. We are on twitch.tv/OC Podcast. We're on mixer.com/OC Podcast. And we're on the YouTubes at youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast because we had to make it a little difficult. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. If you want to give us a review, we would love that. The more reviews, the more we are able to be found. For some reason, we're seeing Robin on a roller coaster right now. This is craziness. I don't know what's going on. But if you want to be part of a club that doesn't go on roller coasters but plays video games together and has a lot of fun, then head on over to the Xbox One and check out the OC Podcast Club, or go to the PS4 and check out the OC Podcast Community, because they have to be different. You can go to Steam, and instead of going to a community or a club, you can go to a group. Go to the OC Podcast group on Steam. And, of course, we also have this thing on Discord called the OC Podcast Server. And that's because Discord apparently is the future, much like Ready One. Now, that all said, Nicole, we're going to hear your lovely voice right about now.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. So if you have any questions left, well, it's too late. But we're going to give a little bit of quick time to Robin and Nicole to tell us how crap Player One Ready Game Movie was.
No spoilers, like that. Please. Right.
No spoilers. No spoilers. No spoilers. I hear it's about the future, though.
Okay, Nicole, did you read the book or listen to the audiobook?
I did not read the book.
Okay, so your opinion first then, please. I think that's more relevant.
I didn't like the actor they chose for the main character. He got on my nerves. I wanted to know how they plumped his lips up the entire time. It's all I stared at. It's driving me crazy because he had such girl lips. I did like all the nostalgia in it, and there is a butt ton of nostalgia. If you grew up in the 80s, there is so much, like even the old white Doritos bags that had the red Doritos at the bottom, they had those in there. And I was like, oh my gosh. And there's a lot of stuff in there that if you grew up in the 80s or even slightly know anything about that, you will totally laugh at all these different parts. Whereas my kids are like, what are you laughing at? Why is that funny? And there's no way I can tell them in the middle of a movie theater why that's funny. But there was I liked the nostalgia part. Story was interesting. It did have a theme. The theme being that it is more important to get out there and meet people for real versus virtually. But it's entertaining. I'll give it that. I don't know that it's going to be one of those I'll probably watch 500 times. But it's not the worst movie I've seen, and it's not the best.
Okay, I think I will watch it probably 500 times because I love exactly what you said, all the nostalgia stuff.
I love trying to find that.
You know, there's a bit, no spoilers, but one of the characters falls into a big puddle of stuff and he sinks into the puddle like this and the thumbs up in the air. Yes. And you go, oh, Terminator. And the cinema was full of people that were chuckling. And lots of the young ones and my kids that were there, they didn't understand it. Okay,
yeah,
so
that was us too.
So I read the book and listened to the audiobook. Much preferred the book. The first scene, the first third of the movie, I'm going, why did they do this? Why did they change that? It was so good in the book. Why could they have not replicated that? And it was probably because it was too nerdy. Really too nerdy for a movie like this. The movie itself is popcorn. It's fun. It has lots of throwbacks to the 80s. But I think the visions that you have in your head in the book, and a lot of films are like that, I suppose. My kids have all listened to the book or read the book, and they sort of came away going, whoa, what the hell? But they still enjoyed it. So it's worth seeing.
I'm glad my kids didn't.
Yeah.
Because my daughter was like, did not like the movie at all. Hmm. She was like, I want to go home. And I'm like, no, I paid $5. You're watching the movie.
Right.
Because we went on $5 Tuesday.
I was going to say that Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, it's called on over here.
We had $5 Tuesday. But my son was like, my son loved it. He thought all the action. He was like, oh my God, those are Halo characters. And that's Overwatch characters. Yep. They love watching all the different characters come into the game movie. So that was really cool for them. There's some movies that, or some references they'll never see.
Well, I mean,
because I won't rewatch certain references. Well, there's a
whole
again.
There's a whole section about The Shining, and that is that's nowhere near the book. It's right. Not mentioned at all. So anyway, okay. Well, it's well worth watching. Well worth watching.
Yeah,
all right. And it was filmed in Birmingham.
Yeah, Birmingham. Birmingham.
It was filmed in Birmingham, UK. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, pretty good. So that's Ready Player One's. Yeah, do you know what? It wasn't shit. It could have been just pure shit. Where Tomb Raider came out, and I hear it's kind of. Yet, so there you go.
That's the sad truth about most video game movies. Yeah. There's not been really any truly good ones to come out. So maybe someday. Someday. All right. Well, let's continue on with the shout outs. Nicole, why don't you just start it up real for reals this time? Shout outs, go.
Okay. Well, I do want to say a happy birthday a little late for Colin. That was so sweet.
Thank you.
Oh, he got a ton of birthday wishes. He's so sweet. And he's getting so big.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're telling me?
Just huge kid, like super tall.
Cute.
And a happy early birthday to Sarah. As always, it is wonderful to work with you guys. And to our chatters who keep everything very interesting. To my dog, who would not leave me alone today, she stayed cuddled up the entire time. It's cold outside, so that's, she's like, well, mommy's warmer than the floor.
Right.
So, and that's pretty much sums me up for right now. Phil.
Thanks, Nicole. Welcome back to Samsung. I wish I'd never even looked away from Samsung.
Yep.
And comfortable back. Curry's PC World, as a store we have in the UK, there's a big store in Wensbury, which is just off the M6 near Warsaw. The staff in there are absolutely amazing. Completely different to the original store I went to. So big shouts to them. And also shouts to yourselves and iPete, who... we played some Sea of Thieves. He was so happy when he joined our party. Yeah. He was absolutely ecstatic.
It's Bongo. Oh my goodness, it's Phil.
He was so happy to actually play in a group on an organized group on Sea of Thieves. And also for the last couple of weeks, playing online with you guys and the community has been absolutely superb. Really enjoyed it. Robin.
I want to shout out Sarah. Happy birthday. And happy birthday to you. To Colin, of course, those photographs that have been coming through, Greg, are heartwarming. And the things that people are saying on the Facebook feed are just absolutely lovely. So he's just a mini dude. He's just cool. And I can see, sadly, you can see his chops starting to look a wee bit like yourself there as well. So you can see that. Good to be on the show. Nice to chat. Phil, it's good to have you on, and Nicole. Phil, it's lovely with the gameplay and the multiplayer stuff through the week. It's kind of cool that it's you're fully joining in the community. It's really good. So, you can get me at Bongo the Same. Check out my blog at bongosbits.com and all the crap that's going on there. And watch out for Judith and Robin, episode 2, which will probably be out on Wednesday at some stage. So, that's about it.
Well, looking forward to that. Look, a shout out to the three of you. Very much appreciate you guys making the show today. A shout out to Sarah, obviously. Happy birthday to you a little bit ahead of time. Of course, happy birthday to my son. He has been the best thing to come to me in quite some time. So I take note to that and I say thanks. Big shout out more to our listeners. So Bobbins, RCGC, we had Duke Scath, even though he was coming in to cause a little chaos, that was all in good fun. So Duke, cheers to you. Let's see who else we've got. Hang on.
I have a list now.
Yeah. Oh, she has a list.
Yes. Oh, you've got a list. I know I'm missing more. I'm just scrolling down through it. We had a couple others late coming in. Cosine. We had Dark Boys 420 Acoustic. Kosigan, excuse me. I like Cosine better. I don't know. It's what I do. Amras 289. Gary, hope you're doing well, brother. And so that's pretty much sums it up. Let's finish this out with a bang. Everybody, thank you again for listening. Check us out next Sunday. listen to us over other podcasts because we're better.
Okay, thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.